University of Minnesota landscape architect Professor John Koepke recently received a mini grant from the Institute on the Environment for a project to connect the Cloquet Forestry Center and the Fond du Lac Indian Reservation. He joins us now to explain. Welcome to the Roadhouse, Professor Koepke.
Call me John.
Oh, thank you, John. I just brought you up on the soundboard. You're sounding great.
Okay, good.
Well, John, if you could start us out with a little background information on your career and what it is to be a landscape architect.
Sure. My career. Well, I grew up in Minnesota, but I'm also a band member of the Lacouture Band of Ojibwe in northern Wisconsin near Hayward. And I went to the University of Minnesota for an undergraduate degree in landscape architecture, which is a professional degree like engineering or architecture, and it was a 5-year undergraduate degree, and you can become a registered landscape architect with the state of Minnesota. I worked here in the Twin Cities for a while doing some projects. Probably the most notable is the Cannon Valley Bike Trail down from Cannon Falls to Red Wing, and then some streetscape projects and things like that. And then I moved to Seattle, and I worked for a firm called Jones & Jones. And they did national and international work designing zoos and botanical gardens. And then I started teaching at the University of Washington as an adjunct faculty member. And then I decided to go to graduate school there, and I went and got a graduate degree, and I got hired there. And then I came here in 1995 to be the department head, and I did that for about a little over a dozen years. And now I'm a regular faculty member teaching in the department. Landscape architects do a lot of urban design work, parks, plazas, streetscapes, transportation planning. They also do a lot of planning for communities and designs of residences, usually more estates than residences because of the cost involved. But we also work with communities on community planning, and I've done a bunch of work with tribes in the Northwest when I worked there, looking at essentially tribal facilities and creating, in a way, campus design for those facilities. And landscape architects also do a lot of management, environmental management, using GIS and other planning software to look at large-scale land.
It's definitely interfacing the land with the people, and mm-hmm. I think that's a lot of the theory and thought behind your project with the Cloquet Forestry Center and the Fond du Lac Reservation. If you could, describe that project, explain to us the successful mini grant and some of the tenets of that project.
Sure, I'd be happy to. The project actually. It started way before I got involved. My involvement is really recent, but there's been a group from the Fond du Lac Band and the Cloquet Forestry Center meeting to discuss how they could better connect the two facilities on the reservation and on the University of Minnesota Cloquet Forestry Center property. And one idea that they had was to create a trail system and a bridge that would allow them to link back and forth physically so they could take advantage of each other's educational resources and also environmental resources, particularly the elementary center. I think the Cloquet Forestry Center hosts other band activities, and the band also cooperates with the Forestry Center in research and other things. So I was asked by some folks that know the two entities to, Johnny Bingham actually is one of the folks, and Carrie Pike, who is a former director of the Cloquet Forestry Center, she went to take a job with the U.S. Forest Service in Indiana. But and as I said to her, I didn't know they had any trees left in Indiana, but that's what she's doing. And they asked me to maybe work with a group of students, with the band members and the Forestry Center, to imagine what the trail and the bridge could be, both aesthetically and then and making connections to the land and integrating cultural ideas, as well as being able to interpret some of the research that happens there and do that in a way that was respectful for the environment. So I was happy to do that. So then I wrote a grant for to the Institute on the Environment. And I had a name for it, which was kind of probably old-fashioned in Ojibwe. But let's see, I think it was Marcus Amezmaki, who is the Tribal Historic Preservation Officer, that helped me with the name. So the project is actually called Gidajuganikimik, or in English, We Make a Bridge. So in other words, we make a bridge together between these two communities, but also a bridge helping people to understand the environment better, and a bridge between the cultures. So really, it's kind of a metaphor for the whole effort. And what, is that enough, or you want me to keep going?
No, I was just going to ask, as far as it sounds to me like this was a concept and an idea between the two communities for some time now. This has been talked about both metaphorically and physically, and that now finally you're putting the team to work on coming up with plans.
Yeah, the working group between the tribe and the Forestry Center has been meeting now for some time, and they've gotten some cost estimates on what it would do to what it would cost to put in the trail and also the bridge from structural or civil engineers. But they were feeling like there could be much more of a design effort involved in terms of engaging the communities and representing the culture aesthetically. And so, yeah, we're picking up on where they left off. And our work, actually, that the students produce, it'll be through a first-year graduate students here in our landscape architecture program. Their work will be used, I think, to generate ideas and options and to hopefully be part of the grant proposals or requests to continue with the funding effort that's been started for this project. So we are kind of jumping in after the group has started, but I think we're bringing special expertise to the effort. And we will be meeting with the I'm just setting all this up now, but we'll be trying to meet with tribal members and elders and kids, probably, and getting their take and their visions, as well as meeting with the Cloquet Forestry Center staff. We'll be doing a little hypothetical aspect to it, the possibility of looking at siting a nature center on the Cloquet Forestry Center site, and then also maybe looking at some other programmatic ideas. But then the students will run through several different design ideas, present those to me, get feedback, and then finally produce, a final set of presentation materials, and presenting that to the tribal members and the forestry staff, and then turning that over in terms of digital and hard copy so it can be used in future fundraising efforts. And the students will also be studying Ojibwe culture and history, and I'll be leading some of that and some of the relationships that tribes have had with the federal government in general and state government. So I'm trying to build a cultural background and familiarity, as well as we'll be studying the ecology of the area, analyzing the soils and the vegetation communities, and trying to integrate all those ideas and information into the synthetically into how we develop design for the trail and the bridge and the nature center and whatever other things we're asked to look at as part of this project.
Well, it sounds to me like you're getting at the true greatness of what is landscape architecture, where you're really addressing more than just the structure, the building or the bridge, but the culture and the people that'll be served by it. Can you give us an idea of the scale of the project? How big a bridge? How many acres?
Well, thank you for that compliment. Let's see. I'm looking at a map right now, and it's several 40s. There's probably, I don't know if I can characterize this exactly, but it's probably a mile and a half or 2 miles, it looks like. There's going to be some significant boardwalk area, most likely, and then a bridge crossing the major creek drainage in the area. And then we'll be linking up with some of the existing snowmobile trail. But the project is conceived so far into four phases. So I think as money would become available, and there would be potentially an observation tower, boardwalk areas, probably small areas that would have seating or little spaces where people could gather that they could look out at the environment. There's wetlands and uplands and lowlands, and there's some private property that it skirts between what the tribe owns and the Coal Creek Forestry Center controls. So it's a pretty significant, I think, I don't know what the cost will be, but it will be, and I really have to take the say at this point, but I'm going to guess it would be a couple million dollars worth of construction at least.
Yeah, no small area, no small project indeed.
No.
If you just joined us, we're talking with John Kepke, and he is the professor of landscape architecture at the University of Minnesota. He is working with a group of his first-year graduate students and the community in the Cloquet Forestry Center and Fond du Lac Reservation on a bridge. He's got a mini-grant he's just received to bring a group of students to the area and get really some firsthand and in-depth local knowledge of the feelings and the history and the culture around the community. And the hope of the project, I think, is to come up with some concepts from the community. Would the students themselves be sort of sketching these freehand in a design charrette, John? Like, give us an idea of how the design process unfolds.
Well, the first thing we'll do is probably start out doing the background reading. And if I can, I'm going to try and get them to do some over the holiday break.
Good
but
luck.
I don't know if that'll be possible. You know, you always
only if
need
it's
to
required.
Hand somebody homework over the break, right? It's supposed to be a break. But I'll at least tell them the information is available. And so we'll be doing some background research on culture. At the same time, we'll be reviewing maps of soils and vegetation and geology and superficial geology and the hydrologic conditions. And we'll be analyzing the environment, and then we'll be defining what the problems and opportunities are with the idea of putting in this path and trail and bridge. And then we'll be meeting with cultural members directly and from the Fond du Lac Band and getting their input, as well as meeting with staff from the CFC, Cloquet Forestry Center, and getting their input. And then trying to mash all that together and come up with some ideas that take advantage of all the things that we found are positive and try and mitigate all the things that are negative in their design ideas, which they'll be sketching and drawing in three dimensions and creating maps and creating, really trying to bring people's vision, not only bring people's visions forward and contribute to those visions as to what this might be, and documenting that by hand, but also with computer renderings and as I said, maps and so forth. So there's an analysis. There's a then coming together an analysis with the ideas that are generated, and then several alternatives will be proposed, and then the students will kind of. Well, we might be doing it in groups or as individuals, but most likely there'll be some group work, and we'll be putting together these visions, I guess, and then presenting those and getting feedback and then refining those and eventually turning over what we've done to the tribe. And and TFC. It's hard for people to visualize, the average person, I think, the layperson, to visualize what something might look like, to have ideas. And so the students are really good at bringing those ideas into a three-dimensional representation. So that's really helpful.
Is that through the use of technology? Has that been a game changer for your profession where, you know, I've been through a few of these.
Yeah.
And that the you know, consultants and architects and engineers now have these 3D modeling computer-aided design mm-hmm. systems that take you right there. Touch on technology in your field.
Well, you know, traditionally all design work was done by hand and drafting and so forth and so on.
It seems so artistic and genuine, too.
Yeah.
And, right, like it was art meets science.
Right.
And now it's all science.
Well, we still do that. The early stages is still about doodling with the ideas and doing cross sections of what things look like by hand and okay. and coming up with your concepts by hand, and then some students are really gifted in that way. There isn't as much emphasis on it, but they can do a kind of a combination of computer-aided drawings and hand drawings. And other students gravitate more to the Photoshop and the Illustrator and the InDesign program, where they can create really nice, I guess you'd say, poster boards with three-dimensional perspectives and things on them. But it has been a game changer. In some ways, the computer is the great leveling device for those people who haven't learned to draw well or don't have the innate ability to draw, which used to, I think, hold some people back. So in a way, the computer is a tool that enables, it kind of levels out the playing field for people to be able to communicate visually. So it has been a game changer, and it's, yet more and more and more technology is working its way into the way, not so much the way we design, but the way we represent our design work. Much more fluid to design by hand.
Is it enhancing the design? It's definitely for the good? Or is that too bold?
Potentially. I think you're able to go through maybe more iterations. Using the technology, but I think it helps with the communication of your idea. It's, as I said, it gives more people access, and the opposite side of the argument is that, well, it's easier to fool people because you can make things look really realistic mm-hmm. by using Photoshop. As opposed to a hand-drawn sketch.
Mm-hmm. Or you can just watch the YouTube video and even hire a landscape architect.
Right, here's how you do it.
Yes, well, it is what it is, John.
It's
here to stay, and it's only getting more complex every day. I'm so pleased that you're getting back to the roots on the reservation and the forestry center, and you know, going out and talking to the people about their landscape before you affect it. So it looks like that's taking place this spring. Your students will be in the field. Give us some timelines for completion of your project and then, you know, handing it off to the next phase. Could this thing actually be built in the next few years?
I believe that is the goal, to get grant monies. And I don't know exactly the sources that the Forestry Center and the band have been looking at. I would assume that it's late. Perhaps some legacy funding from, you know, the percent, mm-hmm. sales tax percent, which would be a great use of this money because it is parks, trails, and the natural environment that will all be enhanced. I'm working up the syllabus now with a person that I'm co-teaching with, Bruce Chamberlain, who's a well-known landscape architect in the Twin Cities. He's an adjunct faculty member in our department. And I'm talking to a lot of people. I don't know if we're going to start this at the beginning of the semester or midway through the semester, but we'll probably be working on this for, 8 8 weeks or so, so a good amount of time with about 20 students. So there's be a lot of mind power going into the project. And we'll, by the end of the semester, we'll be presenting and communicating our thoughts and ideas. We'll be doing that along the way, but we'll be doing some sort of final presentation to the band and the Forestry Center, and then turning over our documents that we have. Now, it may be that we'll continue on, presenting ideas again at some other forum or helping with the grant proposals, or we'll see what happens. Or in some cases, I've done projects like this where the students actually get internships to continue with the design work and work through the summer. That has happened as well. So not exactly, it's a little bit of an open book right now. We're going to find out what happens
Sure. As
time goes along.
Well, John Kepke, thanks so much for joining us on The Roadhouse. You're a professor of landscape architecture at the U of M. You're working on a bridge project. Could you pronounce that one more time in Ojibwe?
I will try. I only speak Bangi, Ojibwe Moen. I only speak a little bit of Ojibwe, but the name is Gidajuganikamig Min. Gidajugan Kamin. We make a bridge.
Beautiful.
So it's literally all of us together make a bridge.
It's beautiful, John. Good luck
Thank
with your
you.
Project.
Yeah, I appreciate you calling, and it was fun to chat with you. And I hope you have real winter at Grand Marais. I have good friends who have a place down in Beaver Bay, and we love to go up to Grand Marais and hang out on the shore. And I can't remember that. I know I've gone to the Trout Cafe and to the Ben Franklin and to the the other trading post there. And then I can't remember the name of that little bar that's right on the bay. But
Gunflint Tavern.
Gunflint Tavern.
You're talking about the tavern. Probably caught some live music. And
Yes, and tipped one or two there.
Well, that's how we do it on the shore, on the Roadhouse. And we thank you so much, John. Good luck. And if things really turn out, we'll be happy to have you back on again for an update.
That would be great.
Stay in touch.
I can let you know what's happening.
Thank
All right.
You.
Thanks a lot.
Good night.
Bye.